Our next guest, I don't know, be the first time in 40, maybe 45 years that he won't be getting involved for a football season. And that would be a very strange sensation, I would have thought. The four-time premiership star, Alistair Clarkson, good enough to join us. Clarko, welcome.
G'day, GP. G'day, Wistie. How you going, boys?
We're good.
Oh, you're going well. I can hear it in your voice. Yes. You've lightened up already.
Yeah, well, as you said, it's been a long time. I've been chasing the AFL dream since I was about 6 or 8 years of age back in West Wimmera, where me and Timmy Watson are from. And yeah, both our mothers were kindergarten teachers, so the Clarksons and the Watsons have known each other for a long, long period of time. But we both chased the footy dream, and it's been a little bit surreal that we've really leveraged our whole life off AFL footy.
Are you feeling sort of this sense of relaxation that you haven't felt in a long, long time?
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to the next 12 months, you know, because I've chased this dream and I've loved every minute of it. The game's given me so much. And so I want to give back to the game a little bit where I can in the next 12 months. I'm not sure how that will shape itself out over that period of time, but if there's anything I can do for the game, whether it's something to do with the Tassie pitch or, you know, I'm really passionate about the Indigenous and what I could do perhaps to help someone like a Cyril up in Northern Territory bring greater awareness to the pathways that the Indigenous can track. But I'm not sure what'll unfold with that. But I'm looking forward to just sitting back and seeing what transpires over the next 12 months. You know, I've chased this dream and just gone flat out with it. But just to sit back and sit yourself in second or third gear rather than overdrive is a good feeling at the present time. Now, at some point in time, I'm certain I'm gonna miss it, and you know, at different stages, you know, even you know, this whole process. Tim and I, and same with you, Gaz. You know, when we were kids, Carlton and Collingwood were two of the most dominant clubs in the competition, and you know, they're just battling a little bit at the present time, but they're gonna grow again and be great clubs again. And you know, for a kid that grew up in the West Wimmera and just held those clubs on such a pedestal, you know, the lure of actually coaching one of those clubs was significant for me. But the bottom line is I just didn't want to, just the timing wasn't right. I just didn't want to jump back into it without this really unique opportunity I've got just to have 12 months off and see if I can recharge the batteries for AFL footy or explore another opportunity that might be out there, which is at the minute I'm the promotions officer for 36 short.
Hey, we'll get to that in a moment. We will.
Now, we've been, obviously, we talk about you from time to time and where you might pop up. And I said to Gary, I said, look, I wouldn't be surprised. I love the NFL. I wouldn't be surprised if I turn my TV set on one day, I'm watching a New England Patriots game, and there's Clarko on the sidelines with a headset on, talking to Bill Belichick at some stage. Has that crossed your mind?
Yeah, well, I want to do a couple of things like that. I've got a great mate of mine who's heavily involved in the Tour de France, and you know, every year he says, "Oh, I'll come across," but that's smack bang right in the middle of our footy season. So yeah, I've got an invitation to do something with that next year, and I want to, if I can get abroad, I want to go and study and. Just embed myself in a couple of clubs for a period of time. I've done that a lot, but the greatest period of time that you can ever do it really is a week or 2 weeks. You know, I've got an opportunity now to embed myself in a club for a season if I want to. Now, I need to work out how that would happen and where, and whether it's just one club or two. But I'm really looking forward to what might transpire over the next 12 months.
It'll be sensational. I'm so glad you're doing it. Not that it matters what I think, but I think it's going to be great for you. And there was even a suggestion from Paul Kent, who's one of our contemporaries up there in Sydney, that the West Tigers have got to having a good look at their situation, and that he suggested that you go in there, not to pick coaches or anything like that, but just to cast an eye over their structural organisation and how it works and the interaction between coaching staff and phys, you know, all the different stuff that you... Would that be of any interest?
Yeah, well, listen, there's going to be a heap of stuff, Gaz, and I've just got to work out when and how I can get overseas is my first priority. And yeah, that's pretty difficult at the present time, and you know, getting exemptions and that sort of stuff through government to be able to travel to study. But yeah, I'm open to doing anything in sport. You know, I'm obviously very, very high regard for Craig Bellamy and the Storm. You know, they've got another big game this weekend. It's extraordinary how many grand finals they've been in, but prelim finals. I can remember Dennis Pagan saying to me many, many years ago, it's so hard to get to the big dance, but just get to the preliminary finals and as best you can. Sometimes the door will slam shut in your face and sometimes it'll open for you. And Craig Bellamy just keeps getting his boys up there. And so, you know, I've got a passion for rugby league. I don't know a hell of a lot about the rules of the game. I just love how tough and hard they are, and I love what Bellamy's done at Storm.
Are you in regular contact with him? Because it has been... It's been written that, you know, you're good mates and you share stuff and that type of thing. Is that your relationship?
Yeah, well, not so much in the last 18 months, unfortunately. It's not because we've had a falling out or anything. It's just, you know, Belly's been up north, I reckon, of the last 18 months. I reckon he's slept in his bed in Melbourne probably about, you know, 20 days in the last 2 years. Now, that's been the... yeah, the real transient manner of which NFL, NRL's been run in the last 18 months, you know, been very agile and flexible, just like the AFL. I mean, it's been extraordinary what Gill and his executive have been able to do to keep AFL footy going. And, you know, we get a grand final this week, albeit on the other side of the continent, but, you know, a pretty special grand final between two teams that have got their own special stories of the last, you know, 50 or 60 years.
What's your... ideal, how do you ideally see the Tasmanian project, inverted commas, going? Is it a standalone team within 5 or 6 years?
Yeah, I think it is, Gaz. And yeah, that would be the pitch. I mean, I think that's how the team is going to have the most support and the greater chance of success rather than a sort of quasi type of team. They've had a quasi team in Hawthorn going down there for the last, you know, best part of 20 years. And whilst that's worked for Hawthorn and it's worked for Tassie, whilst they couldn't have their own team, I think if they can establish their own brand, but it needs time. They need to set it up. And my view is that they need to establish that Tassie's going to have a team, give them a licence, but say, OK, you've got 5 or 6 years to prepare. I think one of the mistakes that was made with perhaps Gold Coast and GWS, they came into the competition pretty hastily. You know, I think it was a... yeah, let's bring them in, and it was a 2 to 3 year window to prepare for those clubs. I think Tassie needs five to six years, and if they need to get their pathways right, I don't think there'll be a club in the competition that will vote for Tassie to come in if there's going to be significantly compromised drafts to allow the talent to get to the Tasmanian side. So you need 5 or 6 years to build up the pathways program, the school program, get the 13 and 14 year old kids now who can be players by the time they get to 18 or 20. That list needs to be made up mainly of Tasmanian people. They'll have to have some from the mainland, without a doubt, through drafting and all sorts of things. But by and large, if they can bring their talent in, they can do that because it is a footy heartland down there. But they just need the motivation and the captivation, really, of the Tasmanian market to give them a pathway and give them a sense of where they can go with their footy.
Will you be given an official role, do you think? Is that what you're seeking, or do you... just want to be like a consultant?
Well, once again, Tim, it'll all depend whether I'm in Australia or right. Whether I'm abroad. But certainly if I'm here, I've already had some preliminary discussions. You know, James Henderson is the manager, and he's heavily involved in the Tasmanian Task Force. So I've already done a few things with him. You know, he's bounced some ideas off me because I've been going down to Tassie you know, many, many times over the course of the last 17 years to coach the Hawks. We've got a really good affinity with everything to do with Tasmania, whether that's in the north or south, particularly the north. But, you know, Fags and Bolts are great mates of mine, and they've got a great passion for Tasmanian footy too. So we've often talked about Tasmania, and, you know, they know the heartland very, very well. And, you know, I've bounced ideas off those guys on a regular basis. So we know it pretty well, and we feel like we can contribute, given that especially those two boys, they've lived in the state, gone through the pathways, they've coached the pathways, and now they've risen to AFL ranks. So they're pretty well positioned, those two, to make some pretty good judgments on whether Tassie could have a team in the AFL.
What about the state of the game? I know this is a big question, but the state of the way the game is played currently at AFL level.
Yeah, well, all I base it on, Tim, is the excitement around particularly this time of year. And I mean, this particular week, you know, people ask you all the time, who's going to win? And it's like, oh, geez, you know, I'm a coach, I'll have the wisdom to know who's going to win this game. But, you know, you split so much because it's such an exciting prospect of this game, you know, like who would have thought that the two preliminary finals were going to blow out like they did because of the quality of the two teams. But I think it seems strange that you'd judge it on mark of the year, but the footy this year I think was better than it had been in the past, and I'm not sure if it's rule changes or what it was, but we saw some great contenders for mark of the year. Nearly every week there was a really good mark, if not two or three, and I think teams were kicking to a contest more than they've ever done, which allowed sometimes it was a 1v1 contest, but the longer kicking, it allows your time to actually take a pretty spectacular mark. And I don't think the football mad public enjoy the short chipping type of game that's played. I think they love the long kicking, and that was the sort of the feature of the footy in the 70s and 80s. I can recall earlier in this week I listened to a little bit of yours and Gaz's show, and you said something about watching a game from the early 80s or something, one of the finals, yep. And just how pure the game was. And I reckon we got back to it, not so much because of the rule changes, but I think because coaches genuinely thought, gee, we may as well take ground with the ball rather than chip it around in the back half and just get some ground with the footy. And it created more contests and some more genuine type of footy. And I think the wider football public, and certainly I as a great supporter of the game, really enjoyed that part of the game.
You don't want to do some radio, do you? You're going all right at this, Capo. The audience are sitting back just enjoying you, just waxing lyrical.
Well, I better get off pretty soon because you got to get our rugby league favourite on, don't you?
No, we do. So this is you see, and you're running well to a schedule, unlike Wispy. Of all the things I thought you'd be doing, you're marketing. You've got a Macedonian mate who's made some gin vodka. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, well, it's a great story because they're a Macedonian family that came out in the 1950s. Three brothers, and they were market gardeners, and they went and farmed some land just north of Adelaide, of Virginia, and they were tomato growers, but predominantly. But then they Pando, the old man, he had a great hobby in terms of distilling his own sort of home brews, and part of that was gin and vodka and whiskey, and they built up to the point where people were drinking and saying, "God, this is unreal! You could put this on the market." And just at the point where they did finally get it to license and market, Pando died suddenly. So the two boys, his two sons, John and Con, good, strong Macedonian names those, they decided that as a legacy to their old man Pando, who's, it's called 36 short because that was Pando's suit size. And so they've decided to make a business out of this, and the Macedonians there, they're great at the craft of distillery and all that sort of stuff, but they're such a humble family that they just don't know how to promote and push it out there. And they're doing a great job, but I can help them out in some way. They've been such a great support to my family over the journey, irrespective of anything business wise. And if I can help them out, just doing a grand final promotion for 36 short, then I'll do anything I can to help the boys.
Right, so this is what you can do. You can buy this gin vodka, and Clarko tells me it is unbelievable. We'll put all this up on our web pages and our Twitter pages so you can get this. So www.36short.com.au. Go into the draw, one of 20 lucky winners who are going to get an exclusive grand final debrief on Monday with Clarko and Damien Hardwick, if you don't mind. So Monday comes around, we'll announce it on Monday. After the grand final, if you go out and buy a bottle of vodka and you go in the draw, you're one of a lucky 20. You go to a debrief and Clarko and Dimmer will tell you who won and why. That's unbelievable.
That's the blood orange gin, mate, is the one. Just a little bit of tonic, bit of ice, and a bit of pink grapefruit juice, cordial. Beautiful.
Hey, magnificent. Hey, just quickly before we let you go too, have you checked the security vision down at your property? I know you've got a CCTV camera security set up down there because there's a bloke that's been down there pilfering stuff from your property.
Well,
what were you doing on his property then?
I drove in to see if Clarko was there, but there was a hive of activity, so I turned around and went out.
Yeah, well, my joint did get pilfered at some point down there, Gaz. They pinched my quad bike, the buggers.
I did hear that, actually. Yeah. It wasn't me, but the property's looking magnificent. You're going to have a bit of time to work there as well. But, hey, you deserve a break. You do, and you've been great to us. And we appreciate you coming on, and we'll continue to pump up 36 short, and we look forward to talking again at some stage.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for helping us out today. Cheers.
Good on you.
The great Alistair Clarkson was here for Build Exact. Register for free Build Exact demo. Get a $50 Dan Murphy's gift card. Head to buildexact.com.au.